Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Welcome to this glorious, glorious day where I was almost demolished on the road by a crazy driver just a mere 10 minutes ago.
What? When you're running?
No. Where I run. It's where I run.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There's down this little hill, and it's kind of precarious. And, you know, as you drive through Los Angeles, there's all these little dips and valleys.
Yeah.
They call them, like, the wash, like the drains that for when it rains in the hills and it comes down. And so there's a lot of uneven stuff. You've got speed bumps to contend with and residential areas because people like to speed around and get off the freeways. And then they also have these drainage things that make your car bottom out. And they're great because they make people calm down. They go racing through and then they bottom out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize, oh, I should be going the speed limit here, which is 30 miles an hour instead of 50 miles an hour. And then that works. Some people, probably because they're young or drunk, don't learn and they just keep bottoming out. Mm-hmm. As they go along, and they don't slow down. So I'm going, and I'm watching these people come down this one little hill as I'm going the opposite direction, and I'm like, look at how dumb they are. Like, the one person, you could see, like, their lights, ba-boom, ba-boom.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, look at, wow. And then the other guy's coming even faster. I'm like, look at this one. He's not even going to try and slow down. Boom, boom, bottoms out, swerves into my lane, and now is coming right for me.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and I'm coming up pretty close. Slam on the horn, go to the side. He gets control of it and goes off the other side and just misses me.
Did your Tesla move at all, or were you...
It just started crying.
Manual pilot.
I was manual. It was all manual. Back road manual.
Save yourself, Tom.
I wonder what it would have done. I wonder if it would have...
I'm sure it would have, like, tried to move away, right? Or back away.
Yeah, or just exploded. This guy was just coming for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, scary. You know, you always have little things. Yeah, it's kind of close. It's kind of... Mm-hmm. And then those other ones where it's like your adrenaline just pops.
Yeah.
You're like, this is definitely a fright situation. And it was, you know, I always think this because one time I was hit in my Volkswagen. I had gone to this costume fitting for this movie, and I was driving home in the Volkswagen, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and I'm like going to go act in a movie. I was pretty excited, and it was like the sun was shining. It was like everything was going right, and then some old dude ran a red light, 70-something years old, and just smacked into the side of my car.
Oh, man.
Ever since then, I always keep in my mind not to be too elated with yourself.
That sounds very Catholic.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And I just came today from... I got to meet and interview Bob Newhart, which was a very
awesome
thing.
He's my idol.
So great. And then I'm driving home and coming through like Mulholland Drive, and there's like this beautiful sun piercing through, like, kind of it's a little bit of a haze over the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the mountains are just kind of peeking out. It was just gorgeous, and you're just sweeping slowly on these roads, and it was just like, again, one of those nice moments. And conscious of it,
yeah,
keep your eye on the road, pay attention. And 5 minutes later, bam, bam, this guy's gunning right for me,
man. Well, and it's also helpless because it's not anything you can do. You know what I mean? It's almost like when you see somebody coming behind and you realize they're not looking.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things.
Yeah, you just like break, 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 break. Ah, jeez.
Because you have also a bunch of a-holes. I don't know if they... I think most of these people live here. I think most of these people are your neighbors.
What do you mean?
That because you also... This is like... My old neighborhood in Playa del Rey was like this, where they would have intersections that didn't even have stop signs because it was just so laid back.
Yeah.
And so, and now that people are kind of using it to get around the main roads, mm-hmm. so you have regular parking on both sides, but there isn't enough room for two cars to, like, right. for two lanes. So basically, like, somebody has to
yeah.
move, and then you see all these, like, work trucks that are just zooming through, and they're not looking at all.
We're slowly turning into a small mountain town in Italy. You know what I mean? Or Costa Rica, when you're... Everyone's just, there's going to be guys with mopeds, with chickens, coops on the back, and
yeah.
and it just, you're like, how do they drive here? And it's just like these unwritten rules of mm-hmm. who goes what, and everybody's gunning right for each other and then swerving the last minute. That's what ultimately it's going to become, I guess.
That's what the California roll is, the, you know, like a stop sign that you don't really stop at. That's what people will call it.
Yeah, someone was telling me, I don't know if it was my wife or my daughter, was saying that I think Cindy was saying it, when you come to a complete stop, it's when the car jerks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
full right, right.
kunk, kunk, you know? And, yeah, you don't do it that often, especially on these little side roads.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's making up their own rules. Very frightening.
Well, you also build, like, it seems like every time there's an accident, they just build a speed bump. Like, that's the...
yeah.
So gradually, this will be, like, so where you have to slow down every 10 feet anyway.
It is amazing. Like, when the speed bumps, there's, like, on my way to the grocery store, there's these speed bumps, and for you not to feel it, for it not to feel like a dramatic up-down clunky thing for your car, you really have to be going about 18 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I have to slow way down.
Yeah. But then, I had something wrong with my car this week. There was a piece of plastic, like at the nose of it, came off. And when I was on the freeway, if I went over 50, it was like flap, 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 flap. It was like,
oh yeah,
it was dangling and flapping like crazy. But if I kept it below 50 or below, it wasn't, you know, making that horrible noise, which mm-hmm. I thought meant it was just going to pull more of the car off underneath it. So I'm on the freeway going 50 miles an hour, and man, you might as well be a little chickadee
riding a scooter.
Riding a scooter down the 101. People are just angry and coming up and honking and coming around and giving you the finger, and it's just like, this is what's going to be when you're an old person. You're just trying to keep the car on the road.
I'm not going 50. Fast enough.
You're not going. And people, oh my God. I was in the slow lane. I had my hazards on, and people were just like, F you.
Yeah.
Get out of here, you piece of garbage. Oh, so relieved to be able to go the speed limit again. But I mean, I guess that is dangerous. It's 65 is the speed limit.
Yeah.
If you're going 50, you know, if everyone's, especially if they hear, if they get any kind of open road, everyone can't believe it. So they just punch it to 80.
Yeah, I did a show up in Moore Park, which I didn't know was like a town. I thought it was just like a road here, but it's like 25 minutes and there's like a...
Yeah.
I think it's the 118 that you got to take.
Uh-huh.
And everyone was saying that, like, if you're not going 80 on there, people will, like, pass you. Like, yeah. It's crazy.
Dangerous.
Well, you know what I'm embarking on right now is I did complete my no-fly January.
Oh, congratulations.
And tomorrow will be my first flight of 2020.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, and then we're going to do some of the craziest driving in America.
I thought we were just taking we're not flying all these places.
I wish. We're going to be in Florida. We've got a show in Ponte Vedra. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Ponte Vedra.
Ponte Vedra on Thursday night.
Ooh.
What's that?
Is that Siri or is that your YouTube?
That's Bob Newhart.
Oh.
Coming through the YouTube. We're going to Ponte Vedra on Thursday night near Jacksonville. And
yes.
Then we've got to go to Clearwater, which is over by Tampa, on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And then we get on a plane, and then we fly to Key West
which is
for Saturday show.
Yeah, which I've tried to... I tracked down the confirmation number, but there's so few seats on this plane that I think we're just the two people.
What do you mean?
It's like Silver Airways or something like that.
Do we not have seats? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it says because it's like United, right?
Yeah.
But it's operated by Silver Airways.
Yeah, I know.
And good luck to you and Tom, it says.
Great. Oh, jeez. Well, it should be okay, right?
But everyone's saying we've got a lot of people coming in Clearwater. We've got a lot of people coming in Key West, and everyone's telling us things to do in Key West because everyone West,
we
loves gotta, it.
We still have to move some tickets. And the other two are pretty much sold out.
But I think we got some people. We got some leverage in Key West. We got some local people coming in, and okay. Everyone's telling us where to eat the key lime pie and the... And do all the other stuff down there.
All right. Well, when we land, we're gonna have to make an adventure of it because we get in at like 10:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta go. That's our day to enjoy it because the next day I have to fly out earlier than I thought.
Oh, okay.
So Saturday is our big day. My folks will be down there at some point during the day. We're gonna have to see them and all their friends.
Oh, right. Okay.
They're coming to the show after we see your parents in Clearwater. Mm-hmm. It's the
family
snowbird
tour.
The snowbird tour. Everybody's snowbirding it, so it should be a lot of fun. But we still have some tickets to move in Key West.
Yeah,
and also just as I'm dropping some plugs right here, my book, "You're Doing Great and Other Reasons to Stay Alive," is available for pre-order now. You can get it on Amazon, which is very exciting. And then
both books. You
Both
can get the
books.
Other one.
Yeah, there'll be two
get
books.
Get the first one.
Crazy.
Read it now.
Yeah, if you haven't gotten that one. We'll be selling those along the way in Clearwater and what have you. Which reminds me, we're going to need an automobile to get us to these places. I'll take care of that. Toot sweet. So when we get to Florida, that's going to be some wacky adventures because you have a lot of people over 100 driving on the freeways.
But I am going. I'm going out of Burbank, though. I'm not getting near the coronavirus.
You're
going
to be there a day before me.
Because you decide you're not going to go until the morning.
Yeah, I don't come until Thursday. Right. So what are you going to do on your own in Jacksonville?
Well, I'm just gonna. I won't get there until like 11 at night or something.
Oh, that's
good. I just wanted to get out of. Did you hear that one of the guys. There was like the cruise ship that was like quarantined.
Yeah. They released everybody and everyone's running around the globe, right?
No, they didn't release anybody, but a guy who was a comedian, who I guess was like a Tonight Show writer. I don't know who he is.
Stuck on there?
No, he snuck out of there and flew back to like Seattle. Because he had like some gig.
A comedian? How'd he get off the...
I don't know.
Comedians are crafty.
And
how did he get off?
It seems like it should be illegal. And
Is it news?
Yeah, like some TV station like interviewed him in Seattle. Like I would, like if I did do that, I probably would
keep it quiet.
Yeah, and he was just like, he said something about like I got tested, but even though the results haven't come back, I don't have any symptoms.
Oh, jeez.
But I thought they were, like, keeping everybody. Like, you can't even fly in a plane if you've been to China. Like
Frank King, who lives near Leeburg, was hired as a comedian on the MS Westerdam ship that was traveling from Hong Kong to Shanghai. After being stranded at sea for 2 weeks because of 5 ports refused to allow the cruise ship to dock because of the coronavirus, before being allowed to dock in Cambodia. Hold on, stay with me. On Sunday, King flew out of Cambodia before knowing the results of his swab test, which is administered to passengers and crew members. He arrived in Seattle Airport Monday afternoon. And he said, I've been told by the Centers of Disease and Control Prevention in Cambodia, look, no fever, you're past the 14 days, they can't keep you. So he took off. King left to return to the U.S. before results tests came back, but King said he was the first 100 people or so to get the test. What they wanted me to do was wait for those results. There's no legal reason to make me stay in Cambodia. I was way at the hotel. King said those trying to keep him from leaving, arrest me or I'm out of here. Oh, man, good for him. So he was going to another show?
Well, no, but I mean, he's not supposed to come to America until you make sure that you don't have it. You know,
just like a comedian to spread a disease.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like I understand how you want to leave, like, Cambodia if you've been locked up. But
how happy is he that he's got a new 15 minutes?
Well, you never know. What if the tests do come back? He's spread the Seattle coronavirus now.
Jeez Louise. But they jumped them in Cambodia and then they all spread, like they all took off all around the world, didn't they? He's not the only one.
Well, I think none of them, I mean, there was no real thing that they could do to, like, keep you from, right. You know what I mean? Unless it was like a, you know, like there are certain countries just like, no, you can't dock here.
Yeah.
And so, like, I guess
Cambodia was the only ones to
their
say
choice
okay.
was they could either go back to where the ship was from, I guess Holland or something, or just keep, I mean, I would go pretty nuts too if, like, they told me I had to stay in, like, a hotel and not leave Cambodia for 3 weeks. That would be pretty, because that's the whole thing is, like, you're with a bunch of people that have this sickness, too.
It could become, like, an Apocalypse Now thing, and you just start a whole religion in a remote part of Cambodia by yourself.
Right.
You just end up having people following you.
Yeah, that's scary, man.
Marlon Brando. Well, I have to say, I traveled to do Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me last week in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I cruised through LAX, Chicago, Fargo, North Dakota, Dallas, yep. LA. And there were maybe six people with masks on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah. It was not, people were not not dressed up and fighting disease.
I feel like I dodged a little bit of the wave of it. By this week, I think it should be like a little died down. Maybe.
It's amazing how they've just shut down those cities.
Yeah.
It's like millions of people just not leaving their home. It's so crazy. Like not going to work, not
right.
They're delivering food to their homes and stuff. And they're using all of these. They're like really strict about it. It's kind of, I listened to a report today that they're using drones to fly over and tell people to back inside if they're out. And they can trace everybody's faces because they've got all of this, all the invasion of privacy kind of AI videotape logging that they do in China.
In China, yeah.
Yeah. So no one has privacy, but they're able to tell people to not go about their life. It seemed like they even like knew their calendars, like, you're scheduled to be going to work, but don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, it feels like Chernobyl, doesn't it? It's like there's a certain amount of people that knew how dangerous it was, and then, and now that's gotten to this point, it's like, okay, nobody talk about it, but nobody's going anywhere.
Dude, should we be flying from Jacksonville to Clearwater?
I don't know. I mean,
can you fly it? It's a 3.5 hour, you might as well drive. Yeah. We'll see some alligators.
Go to Disneyland.
Maybe we'll go to Disney. Cheap flights from Jacksonville, Florida to Clearwater.
I mean, it's kind of up to you whether, like, you know, because you can kind of leave on your own schedule, I guess.
$200. Is it worth $200? You'd have to go to the airport, board, fly. The flight's probably 20 minutes long.
You're spending 2 hours at the airport anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Or an hour.
So that's, no, I'm saying on both ends, you're landing, getting off, picking up another car, or driving to wherever it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just
doesn't seem to make sense.
When I was doing that thing to Sacramento, it's like if you had to drive up and back,
yeah,
that's 10 hours. Yeah, that makes a difference. But if you're just, like if you were just going up there for the day and did all the math, you're just like, you know what? It probably is almost the same amount of time.
Yeah.
But I mean, as long as we're flying that second leg,
it's good to get on the road, get some Cheez-Its and go. By the way, ran into some big podcast fans in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota.
Oh, cool.
And very, very cool people. The one woman I think you saw on Twitter, she listened to our entire podcast from the beginning till now. Did you see that?
Yeah, she listened to 7 years worth of podcasts, which I didn't know we were doing it that long.
I know.
How long?
Maybe that includes the interviews.
Yeah. Well, when you were doing the one-on-one interviews.
7 years kind of blew my mind. She's like, and just listened to the whole thing all the way through.
That's pretty cool.
Super cool. And because she knows us so well, she gave me a gift of, because she knew I was cruising along on the road, a box of Cheez-Its for the ride, which was pretty amazing.
That's cool.
A big thank you to her.
So she knew you before you even baked bread, is what she's saying.
Yeah. And then ran into another couple who were big fans of the podcast, and her name was Anna, and she said she didn't like the idea of changing the name and doing a bread, making the Getting Baked with Tom, which is on YouTube for the bread stuff. She didn't think that this should be folded into that. She said, leave them separate.
Oh, okay.
She said, don't change the podcast. What do you think of that?
You also need to put a link to those things on your website. You should write that down.
For Getting Baked?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I was trying to send somebody asked for a link to the first one, and I couldn't find it because there's so many, Just for Last has like a million videos of you.
Right.
It gets all clogged up.
All right, we'll do that. So, I mean, there's something to that. She was like, no, I don't think you should. She said, that's different. That's your bread show, and then this is the podcast.
Yeah.
Little Anna says, don't do it. So maybe she's right.
Yeah, I mean, you were still out in America last week, so that's, you got to listen to the people, I guess, to some point.
They're the ones. That's who we're doing it for.
I was just here. I was an LA comedian last week.
Amazing.
I was gonna take the whole week off, and then, you know, when you're just hanging around, things just happen, you know? So I ended up doing 3 shows at the Comedy Magic Club.
Ooh,
on Saturday.
Nice. Delightful.
Which was like a surprise. They have those 2 rooms.
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize.
Bounce back and forth.
First show, 6 p.m.
Woo!
6 p.m. show.
That's okay this time of year.
6, 8, and 8:30.
Because it's so dark out.
It felt like a gym. It felt like I was doing the
that's the best.
Doing my workouts. That was pretty cool. And it was one of those nights where I wouldn't call them old timers, but it's like the veteran guys are hanging out talking, and that was a lot of fun. It was Mr. Dom Herrera.
Nice.
Alan Havey.
Nice.
Talking about, you know, filming Hollywood Shuffle and The Big Lebowski and stuff like that. That's why I love going down there, because it used to be...
Who you run into.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll go down there, I'm the oldest guy, and I'm like, no, this isn't... This isn't fun for me. And then I'm just answering questions about
the good old
what
days.
Letterman was like. I want to know what the 80s were like.
Yeah.
Alan Havey had like the first show on Comedy Central ever or something.
I used to watch it. He had the audience of one.
Yeah.
It was a really good show. He was super funny. And they had the audience of one, where they would have one person in the audience.
Oh, really?
In the studio audience, yeah.
What was the actual show called? Like something with Alan Havey, or was it?
Yeah, I think it was. It was great. It was like when it was still Ha, I think, before it was Comedy Central, yeah.
And I guess he kind of discovered Mike Judge, too. Like, Mike Judge had mailed in a tape of Beavis and Butthead for, like, him to play when they were shopping it around, and he, like, actually called him and said, hey, this is really funny.
Yeah.
You should send it to MTV or something, and then it ended up going there. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, so those guys have great comedy, you know, stories, and of course, you know, they're all talking about, you remember this guy? And then they're like, they have all these stories about him, so.
They're all still super funny, too.
Yeah, so that was fun.
What did LeBron do at the All-Star game? Did he have some big ending or something? I saw his Instagram post. Or was it not so?
Well, I mean, they did a Kobe tribute, but then they do this thing now where I forget what the ending is called, but it's basically like you play until a certain score. So usually I hate the All-Star game and I don't even watch it, but it got really, really competitive at the end. So it was cool that everyone was playing defense and really trying.
I think
the winners got like scholarships for all these groups of kids that were actually there watching the game.
That's great. Yeah. I was on the flight when I was going to Chicago. I didn't realize I was going for wait, don't tell me. And it was NBA All-Star weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody was headed that way. And we had a flight delay of like 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Because of snow in Chicago. And in the lounge, it was me, JB Smoove, Craig Robinson. Tiffany Haddish was on the flight.
That's funny.
Steve Byrne was heading that way to go do some gigs. It was really, it was just like all these comics just, it was like the comic flight for the All-Star game. Yeah. It was really funny.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you were probably in it because I think all that stuff started like Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. And I didn't get to do anything because I was literally got there late because of the snow. Went up, did the whole thing, and then came right back. Went up to Detroit Lakes the next morning. But it was so damn cold up there in Chicago for that weekend. Oof, it was nasty. So did you, who won the slam dunk contest this year?
Well, it went to, the guy, he's from the Miami Heat. I think his last name is Jones, but they had basically the whole thing was they kept doing a thing where, like, they have another player holding the ball for them. And then, like, all the guys now know how to, they all do this, like, stretching stuff where they can, like, put it through their legs.
Right.
So, I mean, they all jump really well, and they just do, like, you know, a twist or between their legs or something. It's crazy.
Right.
But this Gordon from the Magic, who had won it a couple times, his big thing was the guy named Taco Fall, who's 7'7". He had him hold the ball, and he jumped over him to dunk, you know, and dunked it. And they didn't give him a perfect score. And so people were mad about that. So the other guy won. But I guess it was good.
It was a little controversy.
Yeah, but it was a good, you know, usually people get bored of and people keep missing dunks. But this year, I guess it was good. So
I saw the one where the guy was like pretending to be texting and he jumped over him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, just watching a guy 7'6" is like pretty, pretty crazy. And he was wearing like pinstripe pants or something. It's just like, it's gotta be hard to find clothes.
Oh, and how great, to keep it on sports theme for a second, how great was the response to the lame Houston Astros
fake
apology after we talked about it the other day?
Well, I think it's not even the apology. It's the commissioner who has done nothing. Like, he's going to end up getting fired. That guy is nothing. A gutless turd.
Why? Just look at Lance Armstrong, right? Lance Armstrong did not get to keep his trophies. He did not get to keep his titles. When it was found out, you're stripped. Why are these guys not stripped? And the owner of the team said that, first says that it didn't have any impact on the game. And then he completely did a 180 on that within the same interview. And then Altuve gets up there, and the other guy gets up there with these very lame, you could tell, publicist-driven talking points.
Right.
They just both kept saying remorseful 100 times. Like they were told, just say remorseful. You're sorry. And then the fury. As soon as that press conference was done at spring training, the hammer came down from everybody.
Right.
Just boo.
Well, that was one of the pitchers just got busted for steroids and get suspended for a year.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, how come these guys didn't get suspended?
Yeah.
So it's like stealing, knowing what ball is coming is a lot easier or a lot more of an advantage than somebody who took steroids. They still have to throw the ball.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's mostly the players because, you know, if they supported the decision, they wouldn't. But every single player is just like, this is
garbage.
They should both. They got one guy who's like, Judge should get the MVP. they should get back the trophy. And then what was the other one? The commissioner said, you know, people need to get over it. It's just a piece of hardware. And it's called the World Series trophy. It's called the Commissioner's Trophy.
Oh, my God. Is that really what he said?
Yeah. Ugh. And so he's getting...
It's damaging. It's damaging to the sport is the most upsetting part.
Well, all the players, you know... Oh, that was the other thing. So I kept forgetting that, you know, like the big thing in the playoffs is when there's a, you know, like all those games are so close. Yeah. And these pitchers would get in these situations where they just have to get one out.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get shelled, like that's their career.
Right.
So that one guy who got shelled by the Astros and never pitched again, he's suing them. And then there's another guy, the Asian pitcher, I forget, that used to be for the Dodgers. Remember, he got shelled like both times by the Astros.
Right.
And they like basically ran him out of town. And now he's like, they knew everything I was pitching. Oh,
that is brutal.
So those are the type of guys that are angry because they're like, they took money off of
killed their career.
My family's mouths, you know?
Oh, that's brutal.
So that's why people are really like the players are the ones that are just like, no, this isn't good enough. There needs to be more or else everyone's going to start doing it.
It's very simple. Just take the title away. 2017 doesn't have a World Series winner. You can't give it to another team. You can't say, well, then these guys would have won. You can't do that.
What would they do in the Olympics?
They would strip it.
No, they'd give it to the next person, the next team.
They do?
Yeah. If like the gold medal person gets stripped or gets caught with steroids or something, they give it to the next person.
Yeah, but it's hard to say because you're cheating all the way.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, I mean, I don't have an answer to it. I just think it's a mess, and that guy did not, like, they didn't punish anybody.
I don't think you can give it to some other team. I don't think you can say, well, this team, because there's too many factors leading up to it, you know. So you can't give it to the Dodgers because.
No.
You know.
No, I think if they banned Altuve and like banned the Astros from the World Series this year, something might have it might have been okay.
Mm-hmm.
But since they literally did nothing,
oof,
that people are really mad.
They really should just take it. Take away the title. Really. My buddy sent me a message online. He said, you know, what did he say? Where is it? He said he really liked when we were talking about this subject. I think I lost it. He said, but don't... he's equally as annoyed with the Dodger fans whining. And he listed like all the times that they've choked in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Besides going against the Astros, which is true. And I get that. And look, you know, even I don't think you hear Yankee fans saying like, we should get it. It's just more of the justice should be done.
Yeah. I mean, if you lost your MVP trophy to a guy who was knew what pitch was coming every time, you'd be pretty mad.
Oh, God.
And
think about that, too. Like, if somebody like, what's his name, who always chokes for the Dodgers in the playoffs?
Oh, the pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kershaw. So
if they find out that they're stealing it.
Just think about what, like, if you have if you get trounced by this team in the playoffs, and then you walk around thinking, and now in the media saying, big games, he chokes.
Right.
And it's built on a false starting point that these people knew your pitches. But yet it has real world ramifications. Like you end up thinking that you're a choker. You've got to contest with that. The media is saying it all the time. And it was just BS from the start. But then it becomes real.
Yeah.
You're playing different teams and moving along down the line and you're still choking. But because of that, oh, that's brutal.
And you lost millions of dollars, you know?
So
you win the
dirty
World Series.
So gross.
Yeah, it's bad.
Ugh. So I looked up, you know, my buddies in New York who we go to opening day with. I said, what if we skip opening day and go to opening home game against the Astros?
Yeah.
And be part of the Boo Festival.
Right.
But they don't come into Yankee Stadium until, like, September.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what their first game is?
No.
The Yankees' first spring training game is the day we get to Clearwater.
Oh,
so that
nice.
Would be the one reason to fly if we wanted to try to go to the game that day.
Oh, before Clearwater? Oh, that day of Clearwater.
It's like 1 o'clock.
Ooh, really?
On Friday.
Ooh.
So
we could get up early and go. You don't have to fly to make that.
Right.
It's a big push. It's a big day.
Yeah.
might be a little fuzzy come showtime.
Yeah, I think it's a lot, but it'd be pretty cool to, like, you know,
something to think about.
Tell Jeter to come to. Well, he's not
gonna Jeter ain't going to be there. He's
Reggie
hanging
Jackson.
Around.
Tell some of the legends. Oh yeah, Andy Pettit was throwing batting practice.
Oh really?
Yeah. So those guys were hanging out there. So get the guys that don't play anymore to come by. David Wells, come to the show.
Oh, that would be sweet. I teased David Wells once in one of my shows when I did that sports thing up in Tahoe.
Oh right, the golfing thing.
Yeah. Oh, this is so exciting. See, you have it's such a dirty thing because here comes spring. Here comes spring training. Here comes this delightful part of the year when everybody gets excited and you're so excited that baseball's coming back and we're all going to go for it again. And you got this big cloud hanging over it because of these awful people.
Yeah, we got an enemy. That's the good thing.
Yeah, I guess that's good. It's not like we were in love with them anyway.
Because now everyone can't hate the Yankees worse than the Astros, right?
Yeah, right. Everybody. God. Yeah, now the Yankees are like going to be darlings for the league.
Did you do any other shows this week or no?
Detroit Lakes. I did the Comedy Store before I left, I think.
Oh, okay.
And then, we did the Largo show. We talked about that last week.
Right.
And then, that was it. Detroit Lakes was great though. 700 seat theater sold out.
Oh, that's great.
Really great in Detroit. A lot of people. Fans from everything, from the NPR stuff, from the special that's out. It was just such a great group of people, and Detroit Lakes is a beautiful place. Right on this lake, of course, the Lake Detroit, and I'm telling you, it's kind of a blessing and a curse. I do love going up there, even in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, I think a lot of Live From Here and Prairie Home stuff has kind of given me a little boost up there. So
yeah, definitely
a lot of winters we're gonna keep returning up there.
Well, definitely with this special, so I think I have to pass this to you from like seven people I've seen so far this week. So Richard at the Comedy Magic Club said your special was not just good but great.
Nice.
And that's a guy that like went out of his way to say that. And
that's
then
good.
I was doing Flappers last night, and I get bumped by your friend Mr. Bill Burr, decided to take over the club.
Oh, he did.
So, so he and Jimmy Dore both said the special was great. Like, they wanted to pass it along.
Awesome.
And
very cool.
Yeah,
the response has been great.
Yeah, we were just talking. That's what we talked about afterwards. Was he asked where you taped the special, and I said Newark. And then it sounded like just now, because you've fallen in love with Detroit the way you've fallen in love with Cleveland. So I was like, maybe you'll do your special there. But Bill was talking about, wouldn't it be cool to do, he's like, I'd love to do one here just so I could, like, go home. Like, it would be cool to just be able to, like,
yeah,
just go to your own bed after you do, like, your big special. Because he went to England last time. So.
I know. I took that 6 a.m. flight to Idaho Falls after.
Right.
Which was great, but...
But I wonder if that would change your preparation if you just knew that you had to drive like 3 minutes down the road to like do the...
Yeah, you might be a little more fresh-faced. Yeah, who knows where the next one will be. But it's good. It is good. And I think that doing this one from Newark was definitely a cool thing.
Yeah.
I think it was good to put a little... of the hometown state on there.
And that was also from us going there, because we went the first time and it was so great.
It's a great theater. They run it so well. That New Jersey Performing Arts Center and the Victoria Theater, the people there are just such a class act. Like, it's one of those places you just roll in and you just know you're in real good hands.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And what else was cool, you know, I'd have that joke about doing my dream being I end up in a bagel shop at the beach.
Right.
I've had several people from the Jersey Shore making offers already.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, and I say it's not a joke. That's where I think I might end up. It might actually come true earlier than I thought.
So you're just going to summer at the shore?
Yeah. I'm going to winter at the shore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's in the middle of March is when I'll be there. So is it going to be warm in Florida? That's exciting. I think it might be in the 80s there. You don't even have to bring a coat. Oh, no coat.
What are you going to wear on stage now? You can reinvent yourself. Are you going to be Bahama Tom? Are you going to wear a hat? Cuban maestro hat?
It'll just have to emerge. Who knows? But yeah, maybe it'll be a Miami influence. So.
Hemingway Tom?
Yeah, maybe just Tommy Bahama stuff in a...
Flip-flop shorts.
Long Castro cigar. That could be nice. Just come out there like Castro and bare leg it.
Right.
That could be fun.
I'm sure we'll be overdressed for Key West. I'm sure everyone's going to wear like neon tank tops and booty shorts.
Oh, yeah, casual wear. That's where it all spawned from, I think.
Well, I mean, Key West is like, people in Miami look down at Key West people. And Miami people are just all wearing
neon. Yeah, you can't get more relaxed than Key West, for sure. Very expensive down there, by the way.
Yeah.
Our rooms are not cheap.
It's not a big...
packed, but hard to find. I booked it too late, I guess.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not a big place, and I told you, like, there's not a lot of hotels there, so I think unless... You know, I think if we lock into the locals there, that's going to be the key.
Yeah, we're going to be partying with old people. That's what we're going to be doing. That's our whole thing.
So what, have you made a list of stuff that you want to do there?
Nope, I just want to eat and see the beach.
Hemingway House?
And then we'll drink after. I think we get loaded after. I think that might be we'll be done with our shows. We have a day off the next day. And then you're going to drive out of the Keys, right?
I think so, yeah.
That's exciting.
But are you going to go to the Hemingway House with your martini, or are you going to...
I don't think we can get there with the martini, but I think we can get there... I don't think we can drink in the Hemingway House, but we can get drunk right after it and ride by it. We're like 15 miles outside of like the downtown.
Okay.
We're a little bit of a ways because our travel agent didn't book it until late.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Meaning me.
But yeah, it's filled with cats, too. That's the one thing you have to know about Hemingway House.
And this is like your second time in a year going here, right?
Well, I just went there for the first time, I think, in November.
Yeah.
But I only had like an hour or so. But I did get my allergy panels back.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I'm more allergic to dogs than cats, supposedly. So...
Wow, geez.
And also allergic to olives.
What?
That's the surprising one.
What'd they say?
It has a whole thing of like percent
that
you're allergic to it. And olives was my my thing. So I've never had an olive in my life. And it's a good thing.
You're not going to try the olive bread?
I can't.
Oh, that video, by the way, which we're posting on the YouTube channel is... we're almost done editing it. It's so funny. You sitting there taking the different toasts. Oh my god, it's really funny.
Watching me look at sardines getting mushed up.
It's hilarious. Just the way it's shot. Everything's so funny. We're gonna post that one next week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a doozy. It's gonna be a good one. What else? Oh. What's your opinion on this big story? Did you see the guy who was punching the woman's seat?
Oh. Yeah, I mean, here's number one, is the guy might be in first class. There's nobody sitting next to him. Did you notice
I think
that?
He was in the ass end of the plane. I think there's a wall behind him.
But there's nobody next to him, so right. He's got elbow room both sides.
Yeah.
And he's watching something on his tray, which is more room than we normally have, right? Like, I can't...
Yeah.
I normally don't have enough room to watch something, so I don't know. I feel like it was... I mean, obviously, you can't punch anything, but it just seemed like he was, like, overreacting for no reason.
It's like punching a woman.
Yeah.
It's a middle-aged woman. You punching her chair?
Yeah.
Come on.
To, like, what if she had a neck problem or something? But I also think it was just overreaction it wasn't like... I think the initial post is like, look at this guy's crammed up, and it's like, he's got room, he's okay. Just because his seat doesn't recline doesn't mean...
Yeah, exactly.
But the main thing is, like, the, you know, there's just the stuff that we've been talking about. There's not enough room in those seats, and they keep making them smaller.
Right.
And, you know, it's the airline's fault more than anything else.
Right.
Right? It's not...
Yeah, no, exactly. They're cramming people in there and putting them in this situation.
Smaller and smaller seats and smaller places.
But that's why you've just got to act with a little more courteous towards each other.
Yeah.
And you ask if you can push it back, and you just be friendly with your neighbors.
Like when Rob... who's the big Marine guy? Rob Riggle?
Yeah.
Remember when we went to... We went to Kansas City. Yeah.
All those guys were on the
flight. Southwest, and he was sitting behind me, and I'm like, I'm not even going to try to move this back.
Yeah, of course not.
I'm going to be in underneath his chin.
Yeah, he's a giant. Yeah, no, that guy was a jerk. And she's making a move to try and get some more dough.
Yeah, I mean, they should.
She's trying to sue American Airlines, saying that they didn't protect her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even... If somebody's doing that to my seat, I would just go right to the flight attendant. I wouldn't even try to deal with somebody that's that obnoxious. You know?
I know. Well, we'll have a beautiful flight. I will meet you in
Jacksonville's vicinity.
Yeah.
We'll figure out the specifics.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going
to
be fun. Three cities in Florida this weekend. Come on.
Got some new jokes, nice venues.
Yeah, let's go. This is going to be great. And, you know, the packed houses. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. That's it for us. Go to paulhasawebsite.com. Look up all Paul's stuff. TomPapa.com, as you always know and always do. And we'll see you out there. Enjoy your life.